Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
How many people have bought into the idea that Mitch might be part of the solution more than he is the problem based on the last 2 weeks?
Have you bought into that?
I have not. But I am curious, and I found it interesting at how the reaction to Thursday night's performance on national television has sort of shifted the narrative around Mitch Trubisky. And it leads me to believe that in the final three games, if he continues this momentum against very good teams, against teams that are better than the ones they have played, I can't predict the way this is going to go after
the
Vikings game.
If Mitch can duplicate his performance against Dallas on a weekly basis, then yes, he is the future of the franchise. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But again, when you look at that team and you looked at what they can do and what they can't do and how that played into Mitch's game, I think it's a legitimate issue to discuss, because we're going to find out in Green Bay if part of his success had to do with the team they were playing and the circumstance of the game. Or if Mitch has turned a corner and is ready to light up the Packers the way he did the Cowboys.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Good morning, guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
Matt Nagy was mic'd up.
He was.
Every day we improve, right?
Yep.
Reset, job not done.
Yes, sir.
Play by play, next play mentality.
Gotcha.
Love you, bro.
Love you too, man.
Did you get an impression from Matt Nagy that was positive in a way that he connected with his players? Because that's what they wanted to come through, and it kind of did.
Okay.
You think so?
Kind of.
I would have loved for him to have been mic'd up in L.A. and that the extended hug and the long embrace.
Listen, you've ruined my season. I'm not going to win Coach of the Year now, you son of a dog.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Another glorious and wondrous day in the fine city of Chicago. A little chilly, Mr. David.
Morning, Molly. Yeah, temperature dropped today. It's happy Tuesday, but it's a cold Tuesday. And
temperatures drop and the
it's
Bulls
winter.
Drop.
Bulls
These
drop.
Things are predictable.
Yeah, well, both are pretty predictable in December lately. You know, if the Bulls are going to have a game come down to the final possession, you get the sense that, like the temperatures are going to fall.
I can understand if they lose to the Raptors with Kawhi, but this is just getting ridiculous.
Well, it's ridiculous only because, one, it's the 11th straight time they've lost to this franchise.
That's not good.
But it's the third straight game where they have had the ball in the final minute or final seconds and with a chance to win the game. And again, they cannot close. Last night was the most disturbing one, I think, of the three, because it was a decision that Zach LaVine made not to pass to Daniel Gafford, who could have dunked the ball to win the game. And for whatever reason, he thought he was going to get fouled. He thought he was going to, get a chance to finish.
He always gets the call.
But Gafford's all alone, and as Stacey King pointed out immediately after in real time, and he did this very well, and this is his job and that's why he's so good at it, when the defender drew toward LaVine, and he was wide open, could have dunked it.
Wow.
And did not, and the Bulls lose again.
Announced attendance 14,775. Announced attendance.
When you saw the pictures, we weren't there obviously, but when you saw the pictures and you talked to people who were there, it seemed like there was even fewer than that. That's a statement. That is a second game in a row at the United Center where you've been able to say that it's the smallest crowd in 15 years. And fans seem to be paying attention here. You wonder how fed up the fan base is, but I think that kind of suggests that it's pretty pretty low tolerance level at this point.
Obviously, the Bears are facing an elimination game. This is where you're at this time of year. The Bears have officially put Roquan Smith on IR, and they have a couple of other injuries that we'll figure out as the week goes on. Really, Wednesday is the day where you start preparing, getting the game plan put in, and then you get a better feel if guys start practicing Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, no surprise with Roquan Smith news. I think they're going to play some games with Akeem Hicks to kind of wait until the last minute, likely Saturday, only because I think to maybe, you know, because that's what NFL teams do, but also maybe to monitor, you know, his progress while he practices. He has not played a full game since week two, I think it was, and so his condition is going to be an issue. I think the bigger...
contact since week three, since the injury.
A guy like that, you don't worry so much about the contact. I'd be more concerned about the conditioning. Prince Amukamara, his status, I think, is every bit as important.
Right.
You expect to get Hicks back. You wonder about Amukamara, and you know that he means a lot with this passing game and Aaron Rodgers. So he's a veteran. You definitely want back on the field with that defense.
And Danny Trevathan, there's been no word on him whatsoever. So I don't think they're going to shock the world with him. They already replaced the roster spot for Roquan. Danny Trevathan is taking up a roster spot, which would indicate that they're going to bring him back, right? That's the point.
I think it indicates they want to bring him back if it still matters in the last two games. I don't think that this week is a realistic thing, given, you know, he just hasn't been on the field, and there's no expectation that he will be.
The Eagles rally to take down the Giants. They end up winning 23-17 in overtime. And Eli Manning threw a couple touchdown passes for the Giants.
The first half was really fun to watch Eli Manning be, you know, have some success, because no matter what you feel about him as a quarterback or whether he deserved to lose his job or go in the Hall of Fame and all the things about him, he has been always a consummate pro. But he couldn't hold on in the second half. Whatever they did to adjust, they did. Eagles beat a bad Giants team in overtime. The most fun thing about that game, did you see what happened at the end? The Eagles are down to one wide receiver. Jeffrey gets hurt. Another guy gets hurt. Josh McCown had changed his helmet to get ready to go play wide receiver if necessary. 40-year-old Josh McCown was getting ready to run pass patterns just in case they needed him, because he's just that kind of guy.
Because he'll make you a better person, too. That's what he does.
Catch a pass and go hug his quarterback. Carson Wentz, thank you for throwing me the football.
He's a good teammate.
Oh, don't start.
The best.
Great guy. The New England Patriots. Now, we got to go over this a little bit so everyone understands. They did release a statement last night taking full responsibility for having a camera crew. They were credentialed by the Browns, I believe, right? Was a game in Cleveland? But the crew was filming the sidelines of the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's their next opponent, the Bengals. And they claim that they are making a web series that's called, wait for it, Tom Thibodeau, Do Your Job. That's the name of the web series. And they said that it's about, they're doing a series on an advanced scout. So they are, that was the reason they were there. But admitted they did inappropriately film some of the Cincinnati sideline. Now, the camera crew was turned into the league. The league has the videotape. They're going to review it. The Bengals are kind of like, their response is hilarious, because they're kind of like, why are you filming us?
Why
I mean,
us?
Really, what do you need to know?
And that's a good question, really.
But that's New England. And they claim, it was just a... So at best, they were caught cheating again. At worst, they were caught cheating again. At best, somebody made a terrible error and accidentally taped the Cincinnati sideline before, as part of the web series.
We found the one group of people that want to watch the Bengals.
That's it. There you go. It is exactly right. That's Bill Belichick and the boys.
ESPN reported that a Bengals employee who was watching the videographer the entire first half identified himself as a Kraft employee, Robert Kraft, and they kept an eye on the monitor. The shot was of the Bengals coaches and staff for the entire first quarter.
There you go.
That's not exactly doing a documentary.
Oh, well, that's what the advanced scout has to do, because we can no longer videotape. Wait.
Why bother? I mean,
Habit. That's, you know, I mean, if I'm Mike Martz this morning, I'm peeved. Because I'm not a Super Bowl winning coach because
of that.
Well,
yeah.
He believes that in his heart.
Oh, sure.
But
I know.
This seems to be evidence that it's a common practice. Because why else would you tape Cincinnati? And I'd love to know if they get credentialed for every opponent's game.
That's the most flattered that Zach Taylor has felt all year. The fact that Bill Belichick believes they need to spy on him to do well against the Bengals.
7 years, $245 million. Steven Strasburg rewarded for winning a World Series, being a World Series MVP. And the rumor has it that the Cubs are involved in all sorts of trade talks, including Chris Bryant to the Phillies.
Well, we'll get into that. I mean, there's a lot to talk about there with the Cubs and what Tom Ricketts had to say and what Chris Bryant is rumored to be involved with in terms of trade talks. Strasburg, you know, that him going back to the Nationals has a lot of implications, I think, around baseball, but certainly here in Chicago as well, in regard to the Bryant conversation.
Tom Ricketts said that the cost of Wrigley Field renovations, quote, we probably missed our budget by around 100%.
Just a smidge. A smidge over.
That's a lot.
Yeah, just
100%.
That's 100%.
That's not.
Let me ask you this. If you're over budget 100% in your personal budget, or if you're planning for an, if you, that's part of your job to budget, how
I believe it's called bankruptcy.
Okay.
If I go 100% over my budget, but I don't, you know, I don't have any deep pockets, sadly. And the Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf asked if he had a senior moment in regards to the Ozuna rumors, and that every week he reminds Rick Hahn how old he is and wondering how much longer he has to wait to get to the promised land.
Well, Jerry Reinsdorf has a great sense of humor. I just wish he'd use it more with the media.
I wish he'd go 100% over his budget.
You do what you do, don't you?
Yeah. But between Jerry, you know, cracking wise, and the Ricketts family crying poor, not a very optimistic week for Chicago baseball down at the winter meeting so far, is
no.
it? Jeez Louise.
No, it's not. I mean,
thought this was supposed to be fun. I
you
thought
see
we agreed.
Joe Madden and you get all nostalgic and like, come on. Yes, come on.
Yeah. The Blackhawks are going to be shorthanded tonight in Vegas. Andrew Shaw is on long-term IR with concussion.
Don't like that.
No.
No.
And I know how much you like him.
Yes.
Duncan Keith out with a groin injury. Drake Caggiula, probably concussion protocol. And they ended up recalling Adam Boqvist and Matthew Highmore from the Ice Hogs of the AHL.
I'm excited to see Boqvist again. He's an exciting player. Yeah. I like him and what he has to offer. So Hawks are in Vegas tonight. They don't play well there.
I'm pumped up for Highmore just because someone has to be.
Okay.
If you're going to go that way.
You just no, like I'm saying kidding. The name. Highmore. He's big in Colorado.
All right. We're going to get to the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
5 at 5, brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait, download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app, and check in.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
With Roquan Smith officially out for the rest of the season with a torn pectoral muscle, how would you evaluate his season? Did he meet or exceed expectations? And how much will his absence diminish the Bears' defense?
Well, I think they're going to miss him for sure. And I do believe that as you evaluate the entirety of his season, he came back and he showed his ability in the last few games, four games, whatever it might be, the last quarter of his season. So I think it was difficult for him, obviously, overcoming a personal issue. I thought that he was going to be a Pro Bowl player this year. I thought, watching him in camp and knowing the kind of trajectory with him and thinking about what he could do, I thought that he really had a chance to be exceptional. And I don't think he was that. I think that, you know, missing the game and then some uneven performances sort of interrupted that trajectory that I, in my mind, had laid out for him. So I'm going to say that he did not meet expectations, but I'm going to admit that I'm talking about my expectations, which were sky high for him, because I really, really believed, based on what I had seen of him, that he was going to be an elite player. Now, I think maybe he's back on track with that. I think he did stumble a little bit this year, but I think it's in the rearview mirror, hopefully. And it's a sad way to end your season, but I think you go out on a high because of how well he played. Finally, you got to see him kind of covering all that ground that he does and cleaning up everything. And, you know, he's a hell of a player.
One day somebody will Google Roquan Smith 2019 and find out he led the Bears in tackles with 100 when he was put on injured reserve, and the fact that he had 2 sacks against the Lions and had, you know, some numbers that suggest that this season was fine based on the injury, based on some of the metrics we tend to measure linebackers by. But anything but disappointment if you're Roquan Smith. I mean, I think that you'd be fooling yourself if you think it's anything but that. This was a disappointing year. You're talking about the 8th overall pick of the draft, a guy that was ready to blast off, Pro Bowl caliber linebacker, a guy that you see in glimpses could be as dominant as any inside linebacker in football, and just was very, I thought, inconsistent. Early in the season, for whatever reason, obviously we won't know the full story or the full picture, but there were reasons why he wasn't performing at the level that we expected him to perform. And even though there may have been valid reasons, it was disappointing not to see him making the plays that you expected him to make. So he had 5 games in double-digit tackles. He had 100 tackles, as I said, and he had 12 games overall in 2019. But I think that when you look back, no matter what the numbers say, it's hard to say that this was a good year if you evaluate this objectively.
Well, I think it's a little harsh to call it a disappointing or underwhelming season. You bring up the 100 solo tackles in just 12 games. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And Mully, you talked about the lofty expectations you had for him. I think we all kind of did. I think that he was so good right away as a rookie, not only with the athleticism and the stats that he put up, but just the instincts that he has on the field. I mean, he knows where players are going to be and how the play is going to develop before it even happens, and that's not something you can teach. So I think we all kind of thought he would be on this trajectory where he would be making Pro Bowls as soon as this season, and maybe, you know, had things gone a little bit differently, you know, with the injury and with his personal stuff that went on earlier in the year, and he was able to play 15 or 16 games, he would be, in contention for that. So, you know, not every player, even if they are extremely talented, which he is going to have that, you know, smooth path right to greatness or whatever you want to call it. There's going to be growing pains along the way. And he, in his second season, while flashed at times, you know, there were growing pains both on and off the field and with the injury as well. So as far as the his absence diminishing the Bears' defense, it's the same thing they've been doing all year because they've had a lot of injuries they've had to deal with. It's next man up, and I know it's a cliche, but you saw it work with Dallas, you know, with Kevin Pierre-Louis and him being able to come in the game and have an impact. Witkowski earlier in the year coming off the bench and making an impact, looking like a solid player. So it's just going to be they're going to have that same mentality where they're not going to think that they're going to drop off because the next guy up on the depth chart is going to come in and be able to do his job, to borrow a phrase.
Not a bad season for Roquan Smith by any means. As you point out, David, the 100 tackles, two sacks, both of which came in that second Lions game, an interception. So not bad, but yeah, disappointing based on expectations. Extremely disappointing. And, you know, it was just whatever, a bizarre year for Roquan Smith when you expected so much from him and so much growth. And the disappointing thing is, you know, as you guys pointed out, the arrow is pointing upward here. He's been performing well in the last handful of games. And so, yeah, his absence does diminish the Bears defense because here's a guy that finally got something going, was feeling more like himself, seemed more confident when speaking to reporters the last couple of games, and now he's gone for the season. So, yeah, definitely diminishes the Bears' defense, but as Kevbo points out, as the Bears have had to deal with all season long, next man up.
Derailed, I think that's how I would say it, disappointed in what happened earlier, disappointed, really disappointed in that Raider game, and obviously we probably didn't know all the facts. But that doesn't mean I can't be disappointed in his effort. He looked like you cannot play that of every position on the football field, of every position. The one position where you cannot be a player that wants to avoid contact or protect yourself is playing middle linebacker in the NFL. It is the absolute one position that you will have. If you're not making contact with somebody on every single play at a high rate of speed, no less, then you are not playing the position properly. It is a violent position, okay? And when he's good, he's good. But when he's off, he's off. So it was derailed for me, and it's going to be... He was trending in the right direction, no doubt, okay? So, listen, few less collisions on the body moving forward, and we hope for good things in 2020 for Roquan Smith.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
What does Steven Strasburg's seven-year, $245 million deal to return to the Nationals mean to the free agent market? And did Washington make the right move to bring him back?
Well, first, they absolutely made the right move to bring him back because you didn't want to lose him. Did you overpay for Steven Strasburg? Absolutely. I mean, it's probably the World Series tax. That's what it is. You have to keep him, but he also helped you win a World Series. And now you have in three guys in Corbin, Strasburg and Scherzer, $595 million invested in your starting rotation of those three guys, because Strasburg is at 245, Corbin 140, and Scherzer at 210. So that's I can't imagine. I think it's got to be the most expensive trio ever in any starting rotation. Yeah, I can't imagine higher than that. I think they had to bring him back, and I think it was the right move. You want to stay competitive. As far as the implications on the free agent market and then here in Chicago, I think ideally the other dominoes will start to fall now. Maybe Gerrit Cole signs, maybe Bumgarner signs, maybe you know what the top of the market looks like, or maybe Gerrit Cole will surpass that, but he knows where Strasburg is, so he's more willing to sign a contract than he was 24 hours ago. So maybe that will be the implication around baseball in Chicago. It reminds you, if you're a Cubs fan, that if you have a Scott Boras client that actually does go to free agency, it's not impossible for him to sign with the team that he's played for and has a contract with already before free agency, Chris Bryant. So that, to me, is a takeaway for the Cubs.
Well, I think pitching's going up. I think the price of pitching's going way up, and I think that what this contract means is that Cole Hamels could be north of $300 million, $330 million. I mean, Can you get to 350? It's crazy money, but I think he's the best pitcher on the open market, and he's gonna want the richest contract in maybe league history, right? He might want to beat the Bryce Harper number, or Boris might want to. So pitching is going through the roof. I think what's interesting about this, just from a Nationals viewpoint, and I'm not a Nationals fan, but it seemed like they're picking the pitcher over the third baseman, right? I mean, Anthony Rendon, it's going to be very difficult for them to now bring him back as well. So are they as good a team? Does that change them? How dramatically does that change them? I think that I read somewhere they might double back and go after Josh Donaldson. That's a real downgrade. No offense to anybody at that position. Rendon was a huge part of, had an unbelievable season, was a huge part of their world championship. But, you know, when you win, you got to pay. And, you know, it's Strasmus somewhere, always Strasmus somewhere. And it may well be in the household of many a pitcher as a result of the market moving.
Or maybe the Nats will get in the trade market for a certain third baseman who might be on the move.
I don't think they have enough to give up.
Maybe.
It's an interesting domino to fall, and there will be a lot of different, I guess, repercussions that do happen from this. Number one, you know, you're right, Gerrit Cole and Scott Boras probably salivating at the idea of what his contract will look like when you see Strasburg get $245 million. You're right, Mully, Rendon probably going to be headed elsewhere now. That's just kind of inconceivable to have, to be able to have that much money tied up in those three starting pitchers, David, that you named, as well as Rendon, who, you're right, it'll be a downgrade whomever they bring in. I think any third baseman in the league is pretty much a downgrade from Rendon if you're talking about a total package offensively and defensively. So it's definitely the right move to bring him back. Not only was he a huge contributor to the World Series, he was the World Series MVP. And all due respect to, you know, all the great hitters that they have on Washington, they won the World Series because of their pitching staff, because they paid Scherzer and they paid Corbin, and now they're paying Strasburg. That's the reason they were able to win the World Series. So I think it's kind of a no-brainer. It stinks for them that they're going to have to restock at the third base position, but that's just the price of playing poker, as they say. And I'm interested to see. It's looking like Cole's going to go to either the Yankees or the Angels, which we've kind of suspected all along, but it seems like there's more momentum in that direction. I believe you guys will talk to John Heyman about that a little bit later in the program. He expects an offer from the Yankees to come in as soon as today, so stay tuned.
Well, what does the Strasburg deal mean for the free agent market? It means Gerrit Cole is about to get paid big time, and I think this is going to be the thing that jump starts this hot stove season in a big way and get things going fast. I don't think, obviously,
it's been pretty hot though.
It's been hot, but the past couple of years comparatively is where I'm going with this, David. Comparatively, we've sat around and waited for things to happen, and we've seen some signings happen here, and I think this is going to start things going fast and furious after this Strasburg deal here. Did Washington make the right move to bring him back? Hell yes. Hell yes.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he's really, really good, okay? And shutting him down looks to be one of the best things the Nationals could have ever done, not only for themselves, but for the pitcher. I know we like to joke around about me wanting to shut people down when the games don't matter. So tip of the cap to the great Mike Rizzo for doing that. What does it mean for the market? Well, boy, I mean, it'd be nice to be Gerrit Cole, right? Here's the question. Is Gerrit Cole ready to cut that hair and shave that beard? Or will that be negotiated into the contract with Yankees?
I mean,
clean shaven and cut those locks?
I hope he goes to the Angels.
Right. I'm just...
For that money,
how many hundreds of millions is it worth to get a razor in the face?
You can house your own stylist. You cut your hair, you shave, you do whatever.
Am I the only one that thinks like that beforehand? I mean, did that cross anybody else's mind?
Do you think that comes up during negotiations?
Absolutely.
I like that it's Mike Rizzo, the great Mike Rizzo, Dustin. That's nice. When you win a World Series, you become the great.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a Chicago guy.
And a great guy, right? And a guest on the show.
The great Mike Rizzo. And he said he was been drunk for like a month. My kind of guy.
That's awesome.
I think the only person that should answer those questions is him.
Are you surprised to learn the Cubs have talked about trading Chris Bryant to the Phillies, and how would you feel if that deal goes through?
Gutted. I mean, I think I'd be gutted if Chris Bryant was not on the Cubs. I think he's a really fun player to watch. I think I get it. There's been some issues. But for the most part, I mean, who wouldn't want Chris Bryant on their team? He's a good dude. He's a great player. I think I'd be gutted.
He's a good teammate.
He's a good teammate. I would not be pleased. And if I were a fan of the team, you know, a diehard fan in the Dustin mode, I would be heartbroken to lose a guy like that, a talent like that that you've watched come up, that a guy that rookie of the year, MVP, essential to your beating the curse and winning the title and happiest memories of your life. So I think that's hard, man. I think it's really hard to lose a guy like that. And I don't even know if you can put a price tag on it. I don't even know what you get back that could justify that in the mind of a fan. So I think it's a real tough one, because I think maybe you're underestimating, you know, just how much emotion is tied up with that guy, and how many people are out there that admire him, and you know, he's kind of everything that you'd want in a ball player. There's a certain sort of kind of
je ne sais quoi
Sandberg quality to him, for lack of a better idea, where it's like he is all baseball. He is all that, you know. He doesn't seem to have much personality. We've seen it leak out a little bit, but it's more about the craft,
the game,
and being
respecting
the best
the
at
game.
What you do. No question about it. I think it'd be tough.
I couldn't agree more. He is what you want your franchise player to be, and I think you say heartbroken, and that's valid. I'd be furious if I'm a Cubs fan and they trade Chris Bryant. I understand there are two camps here. I understand you have to check a box, yes or no, and there's really no ambiguity for people. Either you want to keep him or you want to trade him to get prospects before you lose him for nothing. I would say risk losing him for nothing. Trading Chris Bryant to me makes no sense at all. I can look at the numbers. You can tell me the numbers have declined. You can talk about him being injury prone. I could look at the same numbers and say that they've been overstated about how he's not clutch and all this stuff. He is everything that you want a Cub to represent. He is symbolic of the Theo Epstein regime, a guy that you drafted, a guy that you developed, a guy that you celebrated during the World Series parade. This is a guy that has done everything asked of him, and he's done it as a good teammate, as a clutch player. He's played every position he's been asked to play, batted everywhere in the lineup he's been put. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that they're talking to the Phillies and maybe the Braves and maybe the Nationals as the rumors come out of San Diego and even the Padres. But I think that if they have these conversations, I hope they're not initiating them, and I hope they don't go follow through with them, because I think trading Chris Bryant would be something that Theo Epstein regrets.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake. We all kind of realize that somebody's going to have to go, and it's going to have to be somebody that gets you a good return. You're not going to, you know, these texters, Jesus, already with this. So trade Chris Bryant, keep Castellanos. I don't care if they trade Bryant. It's the recency bias is just so unbelievable. Yeah. Nick Castellanos, listen, I'll drive him to 35th and Shields right now if he wants to sign with the White Sox, but what did he have, a good two-month period for the Cubs? A great two-month period. I don't want to undersell how good he was for the Cubs. Chris Bryant has been consistently great since he came up in 2015, after the club tried screwing him over, by the way, with the whole service time thing. And he came up, went about his business, rookie of the year, MVP, World Series champion, a handsome son of a gun, doesn't mouth off, doesn't create problems.
Taller than you think.
He's tall. He's everything you
Sparkling
want.
Sparkling blue eyes.
Plays every position, David, like you said. What on earth would you want more from a baseball player? This is like a model citizen. This is Clark Kent in a Cubs uniform right here. He does everything, has consistently done everything, and now people are trying to ship him out of town. It's just unbelievable to me. I would trade Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras, Tony Rizzo, anybody else before Chris Bryant. He would be the one player I would say, no, you're not going anywhere, David. And I agree with you. You might lose him in a couple years to free agency. He's going to get a Strasburgian contract, I'm sure, something along those lines. But if you are committed to winning, or if you are committed to trying to put the best product on the field and stay competitive, Chris Bryant is the one guy that you cannot move if you want to claim that you are in a competitive window.
I'm not surprised to hear Chris Bryant's name mentioned in trade talks, just only because Theo Epstein said something to the effect that there are no untouchables. So that, sure, that statement would include your best player on the team. But you know what? How would I feel if the Cubs did trade Chris Bryant? Hell no. You don't do it. You don't trade the best player on your team unless the ship is at an absolute standstill and sinking. I mean, you make that move if it's back in the Chris Sale White Sox era and nothing's happening on the team. You make a move to restart things. The Jimmy Butler era Bulls, you got to move them out because nothing's happening. But you do not do this with this Cubs team and your best player that is a damn good team that fell below expectations. You don't move your best player. You just don't do it.
This might come as a show. I'm willing to listen, but I need some names. I need to have my beak wetted. I need to know what is actually being talked about. I just think these two parties have reached a point. Okay, I still think there's bad blood going all the way back to service time. I mean, what is going? Why is it taking so long to figure out if he's got 1 or 2 years left with the Cubs before that? What is going on?
The arbitrator has heard it, and he's going to take months to go over all sorts of things. And
but again, you can't trade him without the arbitrator's decision, right? And why would, if you're the Cubs, why would you even let this get out? Okay, because this isn't going to sit well with Papa Bryant. Okay, it's just not. And the wife is going to say, they don't respect you. They don't need you. We don't need to be here. We don't live here year round. We've got a kid on the way. Do we want to start our family in Chicago where you're unwanted? All these little voices. And I think he's bored. I think he needs a kickstart. I think he needs a change of scenery. But his value will never be high. The first day he plays a game for the Cubs in 2020, his value starts going the other way as far as the chips that he's able to bring back, unless the guy is just en fuego, let's say at the All-Star break, and the Cubs are 10 games under 500, and Theo is just fire selling the whole thing.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question, and obviously a ripe one.
One White Sox rumor involved the Sox being willing to part with Major League talent for the right controllable pitcher or position player. What do you make of that idea, and do you buy it?
When I saw that yesterday, I mean, you're prepared for all sorts of rumors coming out of the winter meetings, but my first reaction was, who? Who are they going to trade? What Major League player that plays a position, pitching staff, are they going to deal to the point where they're going to get better by dealing him? And you go around the lineup, and there's nobody that is a tradable commodity that anybody would want that you'd be willing to give up. You're not giving up any of your young talent. The older talent isn't good enough to warrant the return. So I don't know where this comes from. I don't know what they would be talking about. Maybe somebody's name came up in a conversation about Jock Peterson, the annual trade rumor involving the Dodgers outfielder. But I just don't know who it would be, so I don't put much stock in it.
That was exactly my reaction. I mean, because you know they're not trading Abreu. They just signed him to a contract, and who wants to pay that money other than the White Sox?
Jerry.
They're not going to – say it. That's the loyalty contract. They're not going to trade the catcher that they just signed. So who does that leave? Are you saying you're going to trade Moncada? They're not going to do that.
No.
He's a future MVP. Tim Anderson might have some value. Why would you empty that out? Who are you getting? Why create a problem? So you start going down the lineup and you start looking at their team. And I mean, okay, well then, you know, Aloy, you're not going to trade Aloy. So who are you trading? It doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
Ryan Cordell and Blockbuster do not belong in the same sentence.
This is what I'm saying. Like that, I don't think that they really have. I mean, Lurie, is that who you're talking about? I mean, is that a blockbuster? So I'm confused by the entire thing. And we have a couple texters saying Tim Anderson. I don't think so, man. I think you just create a problem if you do that. Who's going to play shortstop?
It's all very speculatory right now, and I don't really outside of signing Yasmani Grandal, which we all liked and which I was very happy with. Since then, though, we thought that maybe that could
slow
be the
down.
First shot fired,
right.
And the White Sox would, you know, come out guns a-blazing here, for lack of a better term. But it has definitely hit a snag here. Missing out on Wheeler was unfortunate. And some of the names, by the way, again, speculatory, that I've seen thrown out on Twitter in regards to a potential trade. Dylan Cease, Zach Collins, Ronaldo Lopez. These will be guys that maybe can get you back, a Noah Syndergaard, what? Maybe.
I mean, what? Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, so you're going
to
trade?
Got to give something to get something. Wouldn't you rather have Noah Syndergaard in 2020 than Dylan Cease?
Yeah, of course.
So,
but I'm saying you believe Cease is going to get you Noah Syndergaard, or you believe?
I'm saying those three guys maybe can start a conversation.
Zach Collins can't.
Yeah, major league talent.
Where's he playing? I mean, what's he going to play in the National League?
I think that
James McCann
play first base, I guess. Although the Mets
we'll
have
give
a first baseman,
James
certainly.
McCann?
It's just, listen, the free agent pitching market is evaporating before our eyes. And the next tier of these over 30-year-old lefties, Bumgarner, Ryu, Keuchel, it doesn't quite do as much for you, perhaps. And they might have to do something dramatic.
But get one of those guys.
Which one?
Get one of those three.
Okay.
Get one.
Just get one.
Yeah, just make sure you have somebody.
Spend? Are you saying to spend? That's all about that money? Is that what I'm hearing, Molly?
Can't take it with you. It's the old line, right?
Exactly. I agree, and I disagree with this whole idea here. No, I just don't see who they would move outside of Kevin's scenario there with a combination of people on your roster there. But no, I just don't see it. Even if you do go with a name like Tim Anderson, as you point out, Molly, that creates a problem for you at shortstop. I just don't see it as realistic at all.
Well, how about moving two guys that haven't played yet in the major league level but are expected to be day one starters come 2020?
Who? I
mean, what would Louis...
Stop. No, don't even say it.
How about you stay out of White Sox business?
Are we tough on time? Do you want me to get out of the way?
No.
When you bring up Louis Robert, I mean, my goodness.
Is it Louis Robert or is it Louis Robert? What's his name?
Depends on, your accent.
Yes, would be the answer to that.
Okay. And Nick Madrigal?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, you want Noah Syndergaard? I mean, those two guys get you Noah Syndergaard.
Well, think about it
this way. If you're the Mets, right?
If you trade Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez, and Dane Dunning for Adam Eaton, and you end up winning a World Series, did you win that trade? So if you want to make that kind of a deal, then you better win the trade, right? You better win a World Series.
I'm just saying, like, Noah Syndergaard at 35th and Shields for Louis Robert and Madrigal, I don't know how you wouldn't look like... You don't know yet. You just don't know. And that you know. You know Syndergaard. You don't know these two guys.
I'd rather trade Cease and Lopez than Louis Robert at this point. I mean, he's about as can't-miss as you can get right now.
This is sort of a trick question.
Do you think Bulls ownership, which is the same as White Sox ownership, will respond to the disturbing pattern of empty seats at the United Center that isn't likely to get better without some sort of significant change? Bulls attendance continuing to trend in the wrong direction.
Well, they've already
made a change. They're moving Coby White to the point guard on the second unit. So maybe that'll get more people to show up.
That'll do it.
I was talking to my wife about my disappointment in the Bulls, and she said, but you like that guy with that hair? And I'm like, yeah, I do. I love that kid. It was so funny. She's just the guy with the hair. She had no idea. She didn't follow any of it, but I'm always like, stop and like, watch this, because I think he's awesome. I don't know that he's a point guard. Yeah, this is the only reason they'll sit up and take notice. This is definitely how you get their attention. If people don't show up, they have been living on Easy Street since the six titles and before that, since Michael turned up, right? And now we're seeing tickets available. That will definitely grab the attention of ownership.
14,775 last night, and it looked emptier than that. The Bulls still, the numbers will say they're 10th in the league in attendance, but they're 23rd in percentage of full capacity, 89.6%. That's not good in Chicago. That's not good enough for a franchise that traditionally leads the league in attendance and has a reason for fans to go out to watch a team play. You can't go out and watch this team play more than two nights in a row without getting indigestion. So I think they have a problem here, and that's the way you get through to ownership. That's the way you get through to management, is empty seats. Nothing speaks louder than an empty arena. And the Bulls, unfortunately, have had too many of those too often, and I don't see it changing unless they make some major changes, and I don't see that happening either.
Fire John Paxson, fire Jim Boylan, fire Gar Foreman, fire everybody, and maybe you get somebody to give a damn again.
This is definitely the way to do it. Nothing gets your attention like someone reaching into your pocket and taking your money straight out of it. So, yeah, they need to do something. So this has been a subpar start to the season.
Boy, that quote last night just, whoo, boy. I mean, it's getting, you know, clown car-ish, goofy, and of course, rear ends in seats always wakes up ownership.
All right, that's the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.